President's reported push for a security clearance.
Overruling significant concerns from longtime intelligence officials.
Wanted, Bin Laden's son.
The reward is $1 million.
A sleep study's rude awakening.
Catching up this weekend could make you fat.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kaif, and a House committee is set to launch a new investigation into the Trump White House. CBS's Paula Reed says a New York Times report has raised questions about the circumstances surrounding the security clearance for Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner.
In May of last year, the president ordered former Chief of Staff John Kelly to upgrade Kushner from interim status to top secret, overruling significant concerns from longtime intelligence officials, Kelly, and former White House counsel Don McGahn. The president denied he was involved in an interview last month.
I know that there was issues back and forth, but I don't want to get involved in that stuff.
Kushner's wife and advisor to the president, Ivanka Trump, also came to her father's defense.
The president had no involvement pertaining to my clearance or my husband's clearance.
Last February, officials in the White House told CBS News they were concerned that Kushner was naive and being tricked in conversations with foreign officials, some of whom said they only wanted to deal with Kushner directly and not more experienced personnel.
For former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, 3 days of congressional testimony are over, but CBS's Nancy Cordes says he'll return next week and a House committee's investigation is far from finished.
They're going to hear from another longtime Trump ally, Felix Sater, on March 14th. They believe Sater played an integral role in talks about a Trump business deal during the campaign. The committee also plans to call the Trump Organization's Chief Financial Officer Alan Weisselberg to discuss his alleged involvement in hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. Meanwhile, a pair of Republican congressmen, Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows, are accusing Cohen of perjury now and referring it to the Justice Department. They say he lied Wednesday about his hopes of working at the White House and a bunch of other things.
Well, North Korea says it demanded only partial sanctions relief from the U.S. at the Vietnam summit. President Trump suggested otherwise when he announced there was no deal with Kim Jong-un after the meetings abruptly ended. CBS's Stephen Portnoy is in Hanoi.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders tweets that Donald Trump, quote, refuses to make the same mistake that Barack Obama did in not walking away from a bad deal with Iran. It's not clear when or even if Mr. Trump will meet with Kim Jong-un again. The president has made no promises. But North Korea's central news agency says Kim has promised another meeting. And in a statement surprisingly gentle in its tone, the North calls this failed summit a successful meeting.
Ohio's senators are leading the criticism of Mr. Trump for accepting Kim's word that he had no knowledge about Otto Warmbier's captivity. Warmbier returned to Ohio, his home state, last year in a coma after his release and died days later. Democrat Sherrod Brown.
You never should go meet with a North Korean dictator without bringing up the name Otto Warmbier and bring up the whole issue of human rights over and over. That's who we are as a country.
The United States has a reward out for a man who's been called the Crown Prince of Jihad. CBS's Cammie McCormick says his surname is infamous.
The State Department says $1 million will be paid to help locate Hamza bin Laden. The announcement says he's become the leader of Al-Qaeda and has been designated a global terrorist. He's called for attacks on the U.S. His father, Osama bin Laden, was killed in a U.S. military raid in Pakistan in 2011.
Hamza bin Laden's whereabouts have been a matter of dispute for years. A new Pentagon plan forecasts all American troops will be out of Afghanistan within 3 to 5 years. The New York Times reports that idea is part of peace negotiations that could lead to a power-sharing government in Kabul that includes the Taliban. Floodwaters are receding in Northern California and homeowners are assessing the damage. Jim Lewis dodged a bullet in Monte Rio along the Russian River.
We've got in front of my house, I have about 7.5, 8 foot of water on the ground. My house is elevated about 8 foot off the ground, and I came about 10 inches from it coming to my front door. So it was a pretty stressful night.
Two towns cut off by the rising water should be accessible by later today. Washington's governor wants to go to Washington, D.C.
We're the first generation to feel the sting of climate change. And we're the last that can do something about it.
Jay Inslee just announced he'll seek the Democratic presidential nomination. He's the first governor to join a wide field that includes plenty of U.S. senators. Well, who hasn't said, I'm going to catch up on my sleep over the weekend? A new study says, bad idea. Live to CBS's Peter King.
That catch-up sleep may feel good, Steve, but University of Colorado Boulder researchers say it doesn't reverse the effects of short sleep during the week. Those who slept less ate more at night, gained weight, and ran a higher risk of diabetes. Weekend late sleepers ate less at night during the weekend, but went back to late-night snacking on short sleep nights, and extra weekend sleep didn't help. The message, steady sleep is best. The study is published in Current Biology. Steve?
In some bedrooms, you'll find apparel from Victoria's Secret. The chain, facing slumping sales and sinking profits, plans to close 53 of its stores. Old Navy is setting sail. The clothing chain will split off from Gap. Gap plans to close more than 200 stores, but will remain associated with Banana Republic and three other stores in its corporate family. There's word the Walmart store in Marion, North Carolina, has found a new position for greeter Jay Melton.
Jay is tops. When you walk into the store, you feel welcomed in Walmart.
Melton, a 17-year employee with cerebral palsy, faced losing his job, as we reported yesterday. Others, too, now that the company wants those workers to perform more physical tasks. The Walmart CEO has outlined specific steps stores can take to keep those workers on the job. Well, classic Dr. Seuss books are still popular gifts for today's kids. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez says a new offering is on the way.
Going on sale in September.
Do you like green eggs and ham?
I do not like them, Sam, I am.
A brand new book by Dr. Seuss himself. Random House says Theodore Geisel left behind the unfinished manuscript for Horse Museum when he died in 1991. About a horse who takes a group of students on a tour of an art museum.
Forget a league of their own. A young woman wants gridiron glory. Where the boys are.
Toni Harris is breaking records by becoming the first woman in history to sign a letter of intent for a football scholarship. The 21-year-old attends East Los Angeles College. She was the first woman in the school's history to play football, and now she's heading to Central Methodist University in Missouri. She'll play defense as a free safety and tells Inside Edition,
playing football at the college level makes me feel very proud of what I am doing. It's 80% mental and only 20% physical, so you have to have a different mentality to play the game.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
A New Jersey high school is banning limos and luxury cars at the annual prom. Lakeland Regional High says everyone who goes will have to take coach buses from the school to the venue. Officials say it's about safety and equity. That's the World News Roundup, produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.